time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And as many of you are aware, this is definitely the season to get out and practice a little phenology. And remember, phenology is, first of all local, so you can do it in your own yard. And if you post it on our KAXE KBXE Season Watch page on Facebook, make sure you mention where you're at, because, you know, the fact that something is happening in your yard may not be something that's happening further up the road. And so, as I said, make sure you tell us where you're at. A couple of the notes that I didn't get to earlier today, Ed Dallas from down in Deerwood, woolly bear caterpillars, goldfinches on the feeder, bright yellow, frogs calling on the 6th, beaked hazel in flower on the 7th, tree swallows and phoebes, and yellow-rumped warblers on the 8th, and on the 10th, a ruby-crowned kinglet. And from our good friend Dallas Hudson, so we've got Ed Dallas and Deerwood and Dallas Hudson in Akeley. And Dallas from Akeley says, Phoebe's calling on the 7th, beaked hazel in bloom. On the 8th, the mosquitoes are bad. Whoa, I hate to hear that. First spring azure butterfly, ringneck ducks, blue-wing and green-wing teal, shovelers, killdeer, tundra swans, wood ticks, hepaticas are blooming, and a garter snake, American hazel in bloom and shedding pollen. On the 9th, coltsfoot blooming, ruby-crowned kinglets, snipes winnowing, flickers seen, and trumpeter swans. On the 10th, marsh marigold, big buds that are about to open, cold wind putting everything on hold once again until the next warm-up. As of yesterday, and I can tell you that that next warm-up is probably going to show up today or tomorrow. And I, too, yesterday I went out, and I thought, ooh, it's amazing how a couple of days in the 50s and 60s will make 40 feel like cold. Whereas, you know, a month ago, 40 would have been balmy. Yeah. A note from Steve over in... Well, he actually lives in the town of Nebish, and he said that he and Maggie made a journey up to the Gully rice paddies and had a great time. Scads of swans, bunches of geats, other waterfowl. We're hoping to make a trip out to Rydell or Glacial Ridge in the next couple of weeks. And he says, would you say we are running about 10 days ahead of last year for most spring events? So I did a quick check, and my ice went out on my lake, Crooked Lake, 10 days ahead. It was on the 4th, and the average is the 14th. And the tag alders, the speckled alders, began to yield pollen on the 1st of April, and the average is the 2nd, so only a day there. But the beaked hazel were in bloom on the 1st or 2nd of April. 1st of April, I had beaked hazel in bloom, and the average there is the 8th. So... it's hard to say. It's hard to pin down. I guess it depends on what you're looking at. And Margaret from Little Sand Lake said the ice went out on April 6th. And a note from I won't call him a slackjaw. Let's just call him a ne'er-do-well, who happened to be in Chisholm, said the giant bobber on Longyear Lake has broken through the ice. It officially took the plunge at 7:30 a.m. Monday, April 3rd. So just catch up on a few notes. Oh, and one other note that's kind of important that I wanted to cover. Last Friday, I was at the Grand Rapids Middle School, and there were a number of these very hairy bees around. Well, I thought they were bees. They looked like bees. And so I sent them off to Sue Eggert, who works for the Forest Service in the area, and she was kind enough to send me this note. She said, it is a member of the Halictidae family of bees. Common name is sweat bee. There are many genera of sweat bees, which limits our ability to ID it down to genus without a closer look. We have identified Lasioglossum, as an abundant sweat bee found in Marcel at the Experimental Forest. It is a ground nester, hence why they are more abundant in spring after the ground thaws. Sweat bees are extremely important pollinators, lots of small hairs on their bodies. And boy, this one was covered with lots of small hairs. So just a couple of notes there. If you're running into these bees, they're not really bee colored. They've got a little bit of yellow on them. They're mostly black. I held this one in my hand. I actually had it gripped in my fist, and only half of its body could get out. Its abdomen was in my palm, and it never stung me. Now, I assume that it had a stinger, but it just probably recognized me as being too tough to be bothered by a sting. If only they knew. Anyway, kind of fun to just get out and look at some of that stuff. And that's only the beginning of what's happening out there. Tree swallows were back in Grand Rapids for my eyes yesterday in the afternoon on the Mississippi River. If you watch the tree swallows, they're going to hang out over open water for the next week to 10 days. And then they will disperse and start finding those fields and places where they can hunt insects over land. But presently, most of the insects are near water, and so they're going to stay in that area and do some hunting there, and then we'll spread out. Scott, if you look out right now, there's a goldfinch, a male goldfinch on the feeder, and you can see he's starting to get his bright yellow coat of spring and summer. But right now, he's kind of mottled, but lovely to see the goldfinches. And of course, juncos are everywhere. And if you want to attract the juncos to your yard, get some millet, white millet, and you can pick up 5 pounds for around $5 or $6 and take it out and just scatter it across the lawn. And by golly, they will look and look and look until they find it. So a lot of fun to have the juncos around, and the fox sparrows are in there with them, and the song sparrows, and I haven't seen an American tree sparrow yet, but they generally come through with the fox sparrows, so I would expect to see them anytime soon. The interesting thing about the fox sparrow and the American tree sparrow is that they're not going to stay here. They're simply moving through as they go further north where they will spend their summers. Tundra swans are coming through. We had a report last week from Long Lake Conservation Center. Flocks of tundra swans flying over. We talked a couple weeks ago about the difference between the trumpeter swans, which are nesting in this area and seeking out lakes and spots where they can feed and perhaps raise a family here. The tundra swans, on the other hand, are going to be flying much, much further north. They'll be well up into Canada before we start to see them settle down and raise a family. As I was driving out, well, first of all, let me say that if you are looking at aspens today, if you're looking at the trembling aspens, you're going to see lots of big, long, fuzzy catkins, and those are the male flowers, and they are giving off pollen right now, and that pollen is roughly 1 billion grains per tree. So if you have trouble with hay fever, you will have part of the explanation is the aspen pollen that's floating around in the air right now. The female flowers are rather inconspicuous, and you would have to kind of climb up in a tree and get a close look in order to see them, or maybe binoculars would help, but not going to be very obvious, the female flowers. The male flowers are going to start falling off the trees, and I've been keeping those records since, well, my earliest is 1989. And they run about, well, I'm going to say the average is going to be pretty close to, the 18th, 19th, maybe the 20th of April. But April 26th in 1989, April 16th in 1998, the 15th in 99. The really warm years, 2010, April 8th, 2012, March 23rd. The really late year, May 2013, May 13th in 2013, that's when the male flowers began to fall off the aspens. And you're going to see that happening in the next week, you're going to see a lot of those big catkins that are hanging off of those trees today are going to fall, because once they've shot their pollen, the tree doesn't have any use for them anymore. It's going to cut them loose and get on with its leaf production, which will begin probably, well, if we run a little bit earlier than average, I would say sometime in the last week of April. Usually the average is now the 29th. It used to be May 1st, but it's moving toward the 29th now. And so I would expect to see probably something in that last week, maybe the 26th, 27th, something like that. So we'll keep an eye out. And just before they leaf out, those female flowers on the female aspens. Now the male, the aspens are members of the willow family, so they have both male and female trees separate from one another. And those female trees are going to get kind of covered with green female flowers, catkins as well. And those catkins are going to give you kind of a false image of the tree leafing out. But when you see the leaves come out, you'll notice that the colors are, the color of the catkins is deeper green, a darker green than the color of the leaf. The leaf is going to come out looking like those green grapes that you get at the grocery store. It's going to be about that shade of green, whereas the catkins are going to be darker green. So keep an eye on the aspens. They really are for me, that's kind of like the first step of spring. There are a lot of things that happen, but the aspens are so obvious and so dynamic that it's just one of those things that I really pay a lot of attention to. The weeping willow, which is an introduced species, not a native species to Minnesota, has begun to pop its leaves. And unlike the pussy willows, which flower first and then leaf out, the weeping willow leafs out and then flowers. So you'll start to see now a little bit of green coming into the weeping willows as they begin to develop their leaves. And speaking of green, I was out yesterday and I looked at several, probably a half a dozen, maybe eight different tamaracks along my driveway. And I spotted the first little dots of green as the bud scales pulled back and revealed the first of the greening of the tamaracks. So we are starting to see a big shift in tamarack development. And according to my notes, this is quite a bit early. Just looking at the phenology report for the American tamarack, just right off the top, it says that this year is 32 days early, but that can't be right. I have to scroll down through about 50 or 70 notes here and find first green color, April 20th. That's better. April 20th is the average date for first green on the tamaracks. So check those out. They're going to be maybe not yet in your driveway or in the swamp near you, but the tamaracks are definitely going to be getting green very, very soon. I was walking around yesterday. Bloodroot is up about, maybe 4 centimeters, 5 centimeters, starting to get in the 1.5 to 2 inch range. Blue flag, the wild iris, are up out of the ground, probably the same, about 2 to maybe 2.5 inches. I checked a lot of hazels yesterday, and they are probably at their peak of flower. Now, this is not a very obvious flower. You're going to have to get down and look for these guys. But there's little red flowers all over the hazel brush. Those are the females. The males are those long catkins. I found one yesterday that's as long as any I've ever seen, almost 3 inches long. And some of the catkins were yielding pollen. Almost all of the beaked hazel catkins yielded pollen when I struck them. But the American hazel catkins, I had to search quite a few shrubs before I found one that would actually release pollen when I struck the catkin. Lots of other notes to cover, of course, but I think it's important that you know that the frogs are calling now. The spring peepers started this past week in my bog. I also heard one boreal chorus frog. I haven't heard any wood frogs, and I'm going to end today's program with a rather sad tale. because I was walking my driveway yesterday and looking for these tamaracks and whatnot. And right in the middle of my driveway is a very emaciated and very flat wood frog. Now, there are only two cars at my house. There are only two people. And on any given day, there are only two trips. You go out and you come back. And so that means four times a day, there's a car on that driveway. And this poor wood frog survived a winter of being basically dead in the leaf litter, woke up and crossed the road at exactly the wrong time and got hit by either my wife or I. I don't know which one of us hit it, but I thought, oh man, this must be what it's like to win the lottery and die in a car accident on the way to pick up the check. I really felt bad for that wood frog. So keep your ears open, keep your eyes open. Lots of stuff going on. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Cheer up. There are other wood frogs.